we could stand if you're able. We're going to read the scripture and then we'll pray. We'll let you be seated. We're going to read in Ruth chapter number 1. Ruth chapter number 1. We're going to read, I believe, we're just going to read through the whole chapter. Ruth chapter number 1. And again, I do appreciate you being here tonight, being faithful to church on a Sunday night, even though it's a pagan holiday today. Ruth chapter 1, verse number 1. Says, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephraimites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the first was Orpah, not Oprah. He knew better than that. Orpah. And the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on their way to return into the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why wilt thou go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am old. Now, I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hound of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after me. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left off speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass that when they came to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full. The Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came into Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. And let's pray. Father, I pray that you would just be with us in our few minutes tonight. I pray that you would encourage us and, Lord, help us to see things correctly in our life. Help us to see things the way you would and accept all that you bring our way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Ruth is a very, very good book. If you look at Ruth, it talks really, if you were to give it a theme, it could be God who is always there, even though we don't see him or even if we don't listen to him in the way we should. The book of Ruth is, of course, it's an important book historically because it talks about the lineage of David, and which also is the lineage of Jesus Christ. But it's very important to us practically because it helps us to to understand our God and how we're supposed to respond to him in everyday life. We have a hard time doing two things as human beings, the human race. Acting patiently before we take things into our own hand. We just struggle with that. We just feel like if something's going on or something needs to be done, we have to do it. We don't wait on God's timing. We have a tendency just to act or react, as it were. And that's not good. Spiritually speaking, really, it's an act of faith. And on the other side, it's really an act of pride, thinking that we always know what's best and we can handle everything that comes our way. We also have a hard time taking responsibility for any negative results that come when we do act impatiently and take things into our own hand. It's always somebody else's fault. It's just how we are. So I don't believe that. Well, let me ask you this. How do you react when your child gets in trouble in school or they get a bad grade? Most parents, they're honest, think, well, we're trying to blame it on somebody else. Say, where does that come from? It goes back to our original mother and father, Adam and Eve. Right back to the beginning. What happened when they sinned? Adam, what'd you do? You know, the woman that you gave me? She gave me and I ate. That was pretty good. In one sentence, he blamed God and his wife. Now, it's okay to blame your wife, just don't blame God. Okay, just kidding about that. Then Eve, okay, Eve, what happened? Eve, you know, well, the serpent, he beguiled me. It's his fault. That's how we react. And that's not the way we ought to react. It's like the lady, several years ago, a lady was at McDonald's and she got a cup of hot coffee. Keyword there is hot. And she spilled it on herself and burned herself. And so she sued McDonald's. How dare you serve me hot coffee that's hot? Okay? That's, by the way, have you ever, I have before, gotten a coffee somewhere and there's a little thing on the side, caution. The beverage you are about to enjoy is hot. Wow, I didn't know that. Okay? But we always got to blame somebody else and try to profit in it at the same time. You know, it's one thing to blame somebody else for our problems. It's another thing when we blame the God of the universe. People do that sometimes. Here in this chapter, we see that. Somebody who acted wrongly. Elimelech and his family lived in Bethlehem. There was a famine in the land. And so, due to a lack of faith, he hears that there is food over in Moab. He thinks it's better for him to go there. And so he uproots his family and he takes them to Moab. He goes there and things don't go well and he dies. After he dies, natural thing, because they live in Moab, his sons take Moabite ladies to be their wives, by the way, which was something God specifically forbid them to do. They did it anyhow. What happens there? His sons die. And now Naomi is left all by herself with her two daughter-in-laws. She hears that the famine has ended. It had probably ended a while ago because they were living there for quite a while. But she hears, okay, things are fine in my hometown. I'm going to go back now. And so she up and she gets her daughter-in-laws and they're going to go with her. And she tries to talk them out of it. Just stay here. I feel bad for you that God has done this to us. And why don't you just stay here and I'll go home. And Orpah stayed back and Ruth stuck with her. And they go home. Naomi, her name means pleasant. But when she gets home, the people see her and she wants to change her name. The people notice it. Verse 19, we read that when they got there, that the whole city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? She comes home, and just by looking at her, they could tell something was different, and not in a good way. It wasn't just that she was older. The sense of the verse is that they're looking at her, and they can tell that something has went on in her life. She comes home, no husband, no grandchildren, one daughter-in-law. It was a result of all the emotional turmoil that she had went through, all the things that had happened in her life. And when people saw her, they could tell something was different. Is this Naomi? She tells them what the problem is. In verse 20, call me not Naomi, which means pleasant. Call me Mara. Mara means bitter. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. Did you catch that? I'm not pleasant anymore. I am bitter because God has not dealt right with me. He has dealt bitterly with me. Verse 21, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call you me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me? She said, listen, I went out full from here, and I'm coming back empty. Don't call me Naomi. I'm not pleasant anymore. Wow. Why was she so bitter? She blamed God. It was God's fault. In her mind, that is how many people are. We want to blame God for everything that's going on in our life. By the way, she did not go out full. The reason they left in the first place is because there was famine. And they thought it'd be better somewhere else that God told them, don't you go there. And it didn't work out that way. And when all these negative consequences based on the results of that, which were the results of their bad decisions, come home, all of a sudden, it's God's fault. Let me just say this tonight. It's never God's fault. It's never God's fault. God wasn't against her. God didn't hate her. She had made some choices. And let me just say this. Whatever's going on in your life, it's not God's fault. Now, we may not openly come out and state it, oh, yeah, it's God. But sometimes we spiritualize it. And by the way, I have met people, things have happened in their life, and all of a sudden it's God's fault. And that is the fastest road to bitterness. And that's a place we don't want to be. Tonight, in the few minutes we have, I want you to see why it wasn't God's fault that Naomi ended up leaving with her family and coming back empty and negative and bitter. Why wasn't it God's fault? Well, let me just say this. It's not God's fault that they did not like the famine. That's not God's fault. In verse 1, it states the reason they left in the first place. There was a famine in the land. This was a very hard time for them. You know, it says that this is during the time of the judges. The time of the judges, Israel was very inconsistent in their walk. Sometimes they would serve the Lord, and then they got away from God, started serving idols. God would send problems in their life. There would be issues. They would be taken over by other countries, and then God would raise up a judge, and they would get right with God, and the judge would help them out, and God would give them victory, and they'd go right back at it again. That's the times they lived in. Fact of the matter is, this famine might have been a judgment from God because of what they were doing. But it was the place where they were supposed to be. And God was trying to get their attention. But yet they did not react very, very well. You know, everything in life is not going to go your way. Why don't we just write that down right now? Getting saved means we have a relationship with God. Getting saved means we can get through life and we can be blessed and all those things. But God never promised us a smooth road. Things are going to come your way. Too many people want, you know what we want? We want the soft life. Isn't that where we are at? You see, we can't control what happens in our life. But we can control how we respond to what is happening in our life. That's not outside of our control. Well, I'm just acting like this because this happened in my life. That's not why you're acting like that. You're reacting like that because you choose to react like that. They chose to go to Moab. They chose to do the thing that God told them not to do. It's not God's fault. You see, we live in a soft society, very soft society. And it's getting softer every single day. Can I just tell you something? Let's not be soft as Christians. You know, I get tired. These athletes get up and they whine about, you know, they whine about all these things, and they're getting paid millions of dollars to play a game. And I know they have to practice. Well, you know, this, and this. Man, snap out of it. Get a real job. Live in real life. They don't get it. We want to be rewarded just for trying or participating, regardless of the quality of our work. We're soft. You know, well, after all, I did my best. Do your best. But somebody's best may be better than your best. That doesn't make you a bad person, but just don't whine about it. We want our children to get good grades even if they don't deserve it. And conduct, too. Come whining because, well, my child didn't get this grade. Can I just tell you something? They probably did not deserve it. You know, I appreciate one thing about my junior high teachers. They were very, very fair with me. I had no trouble with the schoolwork, Robert. You were there, and I'd get all A's, maybe one B. But then they had another side of the report card, conduct. I was a bit of a handful in junior high and growing up. I was irritating. I would get straight A's and one B, and I would get straight U's and maybe one N. So at least the teacher recognized the kid's doing the work, but he irritates me. They used to have the conduct honor roll, and they used to have the academic honor roll. And at the end of the semester, they would take a picture of everybody in the academic honor roll that got the A grade point average. And I always took that picture, and they'd have us all together and says, okay, now we're going to take the conduct honor roll. It was all the same kids. And I'd have to get up and leave, and it's like, what's this guy leaving for? Okay? You say, why did you get bad conduct grades? Because I was a punk. I've got over that, right? Maybe not. Okay, not. Say, that explains a lot about you. Your child's getting what they deserve too. And we get mad. Now look, when your little Johnny comes home whining, I'm just trying to help you so he'd be soft so he can handle the famine. So we'll get back to that in a minute. Don't listen to that nonsense. You know, my child didn't do good in this, and they had, what do we have, a science fair, and my child didn't win. You're going to go yell at the teacher for that? Because your little child comes home and whines about it? We had the fine arts, and I'm sure, look, not everybody can do everything. Well, my child didn't make it. Someone's against them. No, the other kid was just better. Our kids try out for things. They don't make all the things. Why? Because there's somebody that's better than them. They come home and whine, it's like, then get better at what you're doing. Okay, this isn't going over very well. We better move on. My child's on the ball club, and they're not playing enough. Listen, I coach, and I love coaching. And you know who played on my teams, Brother Pineda? Because I wanted to win. The best ones played. If you weren't the best, you had your role on the team. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes you're young, whatever it is. But come on, our kids come home and whine. We're teaching them to be soft so when life comes their way and problems come their way, they won't be able to take it. You know what they'll do? They'll go protest at the airport. They'll go to these ridiculous women's protests. And by the way, those are not, they're not women or ladies. There's something completely different. You say, well, now you're being, what am I being, Brother Pichardo? Thank you. If you knew some of the stuff they were doing there, you would agree with me. I do like that. See, because everything's our emotions. I just don't feel, and I'm feeling this and that. Get over it. Quit being soft. I saw this one video. They had a protest. It was in somewhere in Texas. And this guy went up and asked three people why they were protesting. She asked this one lady who was very vocal, and she was like at the head. He goes, what specifically are you concerned that the new president's going to do? And she goes, I don't know. By the way, her little feminine husband was right next to her, like, she's not with me, I'm with her. I shouldn't say this, Brother Pineda, but someone should slap that guy. I volunteer. Actually, his wife already did. Then he asked the organizer of the ladies' rally. She didn't know. But it gets worse. He asked a senator from the state of Texas who was a lady. I'm sorry, was a woman. I'm sorry, was I think female. She didn't know. Why are you here today? What specifically are you concerned about? Well, you know, it's just, you know, if nobody has rights, then if anybody doesn't have rights, nobody does. Okay, but what specifically? That's how we are. Let's not be soft, because life's going to hit you in the face one day. Situations are going to come up, and we're not going to be able to handle it. They didn't like the pressure that they were under. There's a famine here. It's tough. I know, but you're in the place where God wanted you, so stay there and things will get better. We make bad decisions when we get like that. We'll move our family because of finances to the other side of the country because we heard houses were cheaper in, I always say Wichita. Let's pick another one. I just like Wichita. It doesn't sound good. No, yeah. I want to move to Wichita. Someone there I know bought a house. I know, because no one lives there. And they don't. If you live there, you got to like tornadoes. But the point isn't moving. Is that where God wants you to go? And are you moving because God wants you to move? Or are you moving because there's a little bit of pressure in our life? Do you know God sometimes uses pressure to mold us into what he wants us to be? You go to work. My boss got on me. That's a little bit of pressure. Okay, I'm going to leave. We were joking around this morning before Sunday school. It's like this kid, like, man, he grows up in his home and goes, I'm sick of people telling me what to do. I'm going to join the military. Okay, there's a lot of freedom there. Then he realizes he's wrong. He gets out of the military and says, man, I've been told what to do my whole life. My parents in the military, I'll get married. Hey, buddy, it's going to be worse. Well, we're getting off key here. We better get back on track. What's the point? Don't make your bad choices based on discontentment, or don't make bad choices based on the fact that you don't like the consequences. You don't like the situation. Maybe God's trying to work through you in that situation. Maybe God was just about ready to do something for them, and they walked out just before. Don't blame God. Secondly, it's not God's fault there was a lack of faith. But a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went down to sojourn in the country of Moab. Why did he leave? Because there was pressure, and then he didn't like what was happening. So a lack of faith, faith is trusting God enough to do everything that he says. And God told him, don't be involved with the Moabites. That's not a place they were supposed to go. And so what does he do? He uproots his family, goes to Moab. He was a child of the book of Judges. That's the time they lived. There was no king in Israel, so every man did that which was right in their own eyes. That's a lack of faith. Whenever we do what is right in our own eyes, not what God wants for our lives, you got to think this thing through. You're really, in essence, becoming your own God. Now, we would never say that. But in that area of my life, if I'm doing what I want, and I don't care what God says, and I really don't even want to know what God says, you know what I'm saying? Lord, in this area of my life, you are not the God, you're not my God, I'm God in this. I'm going to make those decisions. I'm going to do what I want to do. It is scary, and it's a total lack of faith. You know, people are like, man, I want to grow in my faith. I want to grow closer to the Lord. Sometimes you get closer through the difficulties, and sometimes you need to go through those difficulties in order to become everything that God wants you to become. Think of Jonah. Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, okay, and preach. Jonah's like, first of all, those people would want to kill me. Secondly, I don't want them to get saved. I'm going to go the opposite direction. How'd that work out for Jonah? He got a free ride in the belly of a whale. You say, oh, but he got spit out after a few days. Could you imagine what he looked like? Half-digested skin? I mean, come on. That's not what you want. But we do that all the time. We make our own decisions. The Moabites were God's enemy. When the children of Israel were going through the promised land, we're going through the wilderness to the promised land, the Moabites there were to cause them trouble. The Moabites were really the result of Lot having a wrong relationship with his oldest daughter. That's where they came from. If you look in the book of Judges, there's a time when the Moabites actually went in and ruled over a part of them for 18 years. They were not someone God said. By the way, the story of Balaam and the talking donkey, that was Balaam's doctrine. Get the Moabite ladies to intermingle and marry the Israelites, and they'll start worshiping their false gods. And yet they said, let's go to that land. A total lack of faith. Whenever you do whatever it is you want to do and not what God wants you to do, you're not acting in faith. And by the way, let me say this. It's never temporary. See, so often we say, I'm going to do this, and I'm not, but I'll just do it for a little while. See? The Bible says they went to sojourn there. You know, we're just going to go for a little while until this thing blows over. Okay? Then it says they continued. They stayed a little bit longer. The sojourning's done, and now we're going to stick around a little bit longer. And then it says they dwelled there. You know what dwelled means? That was their homeland. That was where they lived. Don't think that you can back off of God and God's will for your life for a short time and everything's going to be all right. You're going to stay longer than you thought you're going to stay. Fact of the matter is, most people don't come back. Just stay where God wants us to stay. Let's do what God wants us to do. Next, I want you to see it wasn't God's fault, everything that happened to their family. You see, Ruth was blaming God. She told her daughter-in-laws, I'm sorry for your sake that the hand of the Lord has been against me. No, all that happened because you chose to leave God. And you can only choose what you do. You cannot choose the consequences. You have to understand that. You can make the decisions for your life. You can choose to do whatever you want apart from what God would want you to do in any area of your life. That you can do that. I'm not saying it's right, but you can do it. But you have no choice in what happens as a result of those choices. That's in God's hands. And we make bad decisions and bad things happen because they disobeyed him. If you don't want to experience the kind of consequences, then we have to avoid them. How? Well, the Bible calls it walking by faith. Walking by faith says, I'm going to live my life just trusting whatever it is God says. And by the way, we all say that. We all say we're going to do that. Oh, I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart. He's going to direct my paths. And then we start to get a little older. You're a teenager. I'm going to follow God for the rest of my life. And then you get a little older and you're faced with some things. And you got to actually stand up for your beliefs. That's where the rubber hits the road. Or maybe you're an adult and you've been doing that. And then there's some pressure that comes your way. Well, if it was easy, everybody would do it. But when the pressure comes, are you going to be able to follow through on that conviction? Or was it just a preference? You see, is following God and doing what he says just something we do only when things are going well? Only when it's convenient? Or is it something we do because it's ingrained in us, it's what God wants, and I'm committed to him 100%? If not, bad things can happen. You say, well, but don't blame God for that. Next. She missed this completely. It's never God's fault that we can't see God's favor in our life. Look at verse 14. She's trying to get the girls to leave. By the way, how self-centered was Naomi to want to send her daughters back to their hometown, to their old gods, and to their, really, Moab was a heathenistic place. It was bad. It wasn't known for worshiping God. They worshiped false gods and some of the worst of the worst. And yet, she cared so little for them that she says, go back to your hometown. Go, just go. I mean, at least she could have brought them into Israel where they know the true God. Bring them back with her, right? I mean, they were a part of her family, and she's trying to talk them out of going back with her. That shows you how bad she was. Look at verse 14. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clave to her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back to thy people and unto her gods. She knew that. She knew that you were going to go back to their false gods, and yet she was encouraging them to do that. I don't get it. That's what happens when you get bitter. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not. Now, this is some of the best verses in all of Scripture about trusting and following God. Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be thy people, and thy God my God. Wherever thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. You know, some people sometimes use this as part of their wedding vows. What a statement of conviction. And here is Naomi. Everything has went bad in her mind, and it has because they were disobedient. But she didn't realize that God had not given up on her. She didn't see in Ruth a great blessing that God had given to her. And by the way, in the other chapters when they get back, we see how God used Ruth to bring rest to Naomi and kind of get her attitude back to where it should be. She didn't see that. All she was focused on was the negative. And who can she blame? Instead of saying, I made a mistake, our family made a mistake, we came down here, I'm going to get back to God and I'm going to get back to where I should be. God is still dealing with me in my life. She didn't see that. In her very midst was a blessing and the favor of God in that daughter-in-law, Ruth, and she missed it. How do we do? By the way, Ruth went through everything she went through. Do you know Ruth lost her husband? Ruth was there when that all happened. She lost her brother-in-law. She saw how difficult it was for Naomi, and yet it did not make her bitter. The fact that she still wanted Naomi's God to be her God, when she saw how bitter Naomi was, when she saw Naomi pushing her to go back to her false belief system and her hometown and all the garbage that came with it, and she still said, your God is going to be my God. Wow. Right there. And Ruth didn't see it. I mean, Naomi didn't see it. No, we didn't say, you know what? God hasn't given up on me yet. No matter how bad things are, do you know there's always some good going on? You say, why don't I realize it? Because we don't look for it. You know, we just always want to look for the negative. And by the way, some of us, we're really good at seeing the negative. How many of you kind of have that bit? You can see the negative. That's the first thing you notice. Come on, anybody like that? That's me. You can clean the whole house, and I'll come home and see one thing out of place. Say, why is that there? That's negative, okay? You don't see, it's like, you know, the paper. The big sheet of white paper, there's a black dot. What's on the dot? What's on the paper? A black dot. No, like 99.99% of it's white. You didn't see that? That's how we are. Hey, are you here tonight? Do you have a family that comes to church? You ought to thank God for that. If you're married and your spouse is in church, you really ought to thank God for that. You say, but they're not perfect. Well, you can walk by the mirror and look in there too. Okay? Yeah, and by the way, in marriages and in families, we have trouble sometimes with this because all we do is focus on the negative. If my wife wanted to, it's all she did is focus on my negative traits. I was going to say traits, but I think there's only one. I think it's I'm too humble, something like that. But if my wife wanted to, and all she did was focus on the negative traits I had, she would have a really tough time with me. She does. Well, that's it right there. Okay? No, but she can name a whole bunch. And by the way, you can do that with anybody, right? We all have weaknesses. Did you know that? But I guarantee you there's a lot of more positives. Why don't we focus on those? Well, you know, you understand, I got irritated here. Okay, but what about the other things they're doing that aren't irritating? We're just like that. Do you know, hey, don't whine. You have a great church. There's a lot of good people in our church. You ought to thank God that God's given you a good church. Well, you don't know. There was someone in the church that irritated me. Come to my office. I can give you a whole list. And my name would probably be at the top, Brother Pineda. Yeah, we're always looking at the negatives. You have a job? There's a lot of people that don't have a job. Hey, do you have some semblance of health? Sometimes we get a little thing and it's like, oh man, my health's horrible. Do you know there are a billion people that would love to have what you have? It's all in how we look at things and what we focus on. God hasn't given up on you unless you've given up on him. And even then, God's there. Hey, let's not give up on God. He's not giving up on us. There's a lot of good, but we don't see it. And then the last thing is this. It's not God's fault that you're not full. She said, don't call me pleasant. I'm bitter. Because I left here full and God brought me back empty. Now, that's not true. The reason they left is because they thought they were empty. What she's saying is things didn't turn out for me. This whole serving God thing isn't working for me. That's not God's fault. You see, you are as close to God as you choose to be. And let's use her terminology. You're as full of God as you choose to be. You say, well, this thing just doesn't seem to be working. Can I just tell you something? The problem is never on God's end. It's always on our end. It's on our end. I feel sorry for God so often because we as his people do our own thing. We disobey him. We try to take over parts of our life, and then bad problems come, and then we turn around and blame him. And really, we ought to just say, I made some bad choices. It's not God's fault. You say, I feel empty tonight. Can I just tell you something? That's not God's fault. But I will give you some good news. You can be full. You look at the end of the story, because of Ruth, God works in their life and works everything out. And at the end of the book, you know what? She's not empty anymore. But she had to get her attitude adjusted. We need to be very, very, very careful that we don't blame God. Are you happy with what's going on in your life? Are there some decisions you made and the consequences came? And you're struggling with that? Are you so often tempted, as I am and as all of us will be, when decisions come to do our own thing instead of thinking, what would God want me to do in this area? I just want to follow God's will in my life. Do you miss all the good that God has placed in front of you? Are you only looking at the negative? Why don't we adjust that tonight? Because God is in control, and he wants us to have the best. Let's stand this evening, please.